listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play fake horror game by Noble Jester Productions.
At the time of completion, there shall be three heirs. One to restore the mind, one to restore the body, one to restore the flame.
So you are standing here, kind of at the mouth of this cave, the other side of this underground railroad, at least one of the legs of the scaled path, and you're looking over this valley that the other side of a lake, you know, kind of continuing on into this valley, he's said is the beginning of the haven, but there's a large army camped at the shores of this lake. And he said it's the army of the gods. It's Yendra's army. So You're standing there overlooking this.
Okay, so I'm going to approach Steve. This is Yendra's army. I mean, have they been here before, or is this new?
They often come to this valley. I think that Yendra and her generals know that the haven is beyond, but at least so far, the dragon's power has kept them out of our haven.
Okay.
But we do have to get past them.
Do you have an existing way of doing this, or are we winging it?
I was hopeful that they would not be here. So, I suppose we need a plan.
Yeah, is there another way around them, or hidden paths here?
He points kind of to the side. There's a path that slopes down the side of the mountain.
This path is the only way down. It curves a bit as it goes down the mountain and is hidden at the base of it from the valley itself, so it's not easy to see that this cave and the path are there. But we will have to pass through the valley to get to the haven unless there is another way.
I don't know of any other way. Let's at least get down off the mountain here and create some space between us and coming out of here, because it's very possible these marked could be still coming towards us from behind.
Yes, that is wise.
And he goes back into the cave and, you know, kind of brings everybody. He informs these guards of what might be following you, and he gathers some supplies up and refreshes kind of, you know, your group's packs and things, and then leads you down this path that kind of curves back and forth, you know, some switchbacks and things down the mountain until it comes down into a what essentially looks like a cliff, but has a path that kind of breaks the cliff, and you come out and you can see that from, you know, just looking at the cliff from the valley, it probably just looks like a continuous cliff face, but it's actually, you know, one part is set out in front of the other a little bit, and this path kind of exits out of the mountains into the valley.
Okay. Now, is this valley like foresty, wooded type? What's the terrain like here?
It's on this end of it, it's kind of mostly rock and some sand with some scrub grass here and there. But it looks like, you know, at least from your vantage point before, continuing down the valley toward the haven looked green.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a nice change.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So from here, we feel like we've got a visual barrier between us and potentially anybody looking this direction.
You do, yeah.
Okay. From us looking up when we were at the top, any ballpark that we could assume of how far the first contact point of this army would be? Talking miles?
No. I don't know. Maybe a quarter of a mile. Like, this valley itself is pretty wide at this end, but it narrows on the other side of the lake. And the problem is that it's just kind of open. There's not really any cover or anything. You know, the army itself is camped at the shores of the lake, so hypothetically, you could easily get past them, but you'd be in full view. So,
got it.
And you don't know if there's any sort of patrols or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You've got a group of dragonkin. You've got an ancient father who appears to be very capable of creating flames, but maybe not much else.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Do we try to sneak? Do we go for the distraction route? My concern, I mean, I don't know how many could be here. I thought about transforming into a dragon as a distraction and then having the whole group just try to move quickly to get past. And then I'd hopefully meet up with them. And then he's talking about kind of the power of the dragons withholding them a bit. You know, maybe I could meet up with them, but I don't know. That's pretty risky. Maybe I'll save that as a fallback in case I need to, as like a plan B. So, right, yeah, let's go with like the kind of the sneaky route first, just trying to see if we can not be out in the open, get down close, be quiet, stay in the trees, and wait for nightfall and try to sneak through during that time.
Okay. Yeah, so you just kind of, you know, wait for nightfall. Night eventually does fall, and, you know, it's pretty dark. You step out into this valley, and you can see the lake. You can see their camp. There's plenty of lights that they have set up around their encampment, and, you know, it's tents and campfires and all sorts of things off in the distance. So you're just going to kind of try to sneak your way around them?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get I guess stealth. I mean, that seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure how a group stealth check would work, but I guess we'll go with your roll and we'll just see how that goes.
Yeah, no pressure because I'm rolling great. Man, do I want to take that as a skill? Yeah, I think I'm going to fill that in into that mess up spot where I had investigate twice. We're professionals, you know. Okay, so yeah, that'll be my last average skill.
I mean, if only people could see your character sheet.
Yeah, right.
I can't read your scrawls.
It's on purpose.
Oh, okay.
That is a one total.
Yeah, so you just kind of start making your way across this valley. You can tell it's going to take you probably a good 5 or 6 hours to get to the point where you think, you know, you're at least enough past them on the other side of the lake. But you start going, kind of trying to keep everybody silent, keep them moving quickly. You get about an hour and a half in before a drawer of hisses at everybody and holds a hand up. He points off in the direction of the camp, and he says,
"I heard horses."
Everybody get down. Try to, like, uncover, get down.
After a few moments, you do begin to hear hoofbeats. Not like, you know, running horses, mm-hmm. but just kind of steadily moving. It does seem like they're coming in your direction.
I mean, if it's close enough to hear that, we're probably just going to... I'm going to stay put, keep everybody down.
All right. Probably roll investigate here.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it's going to be against your stealth check.
Oh, dang it.
I'd let you roll another one here if you want. Kind of a active, you know, opposing their investigate.
I like that. And the math's going to work out because I keep rolling bad. This one's going to be good, right? No, it's first, that's a zero.
All right, well, they got a two.
Okay. Dark out, right?
It is dark out.
Could I spend a fate point and use some darkness to help make that succeed?
Sure.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. So you just kind of keep everybody down and get to the point where you can see three horses and riders on these horses just kind of slowly making their way around the lake. It looks like it doesn't appear that they're on high alert or anything or actively looking for something in particular. Looks like this is probably a normal routine, you know, patrol that they take. So there's a moment where you think they might have seen you. You're ready for action, but they pass on.
Okay. So I'll give it another, you know, 30 seconds or so and then look over a drawer and whistle and get everybody to keep moving.
All right. So everybody keeps moving. Let's go ahead and get one more stealth check from you.
Okay. It's a two.
Hey, that's pretty good for your rolls.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you continue on and you get most of the way around the lake before, you know, you've kind of been expecting this. You start to hear hoofbeats again.
How far are we past the camp?
You're past the camp. You're about three quarters of the way around the lake.
Okay. And do the hoofbeats sound like they are in front of us or behind us?
Behind you, coming from the direction of the camp.
Okay. We're going to try to run for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so you have everybody just start running. I'm going to go ahead and make another investigation.
Okay.
So I don't think you can really defend with stealth here.
No, we're not being sneaky. We're just booking it.
So I'm just going to set this against a kind of a difficulty. Okay. Yeah, you start running and, you know, you eventually, after a few minutes, you don't hear the sound of those hooves anymore. And you get, you know, probably another 20, 25 minutes, not running full on, but, yeah, you know, kind of just running at a pretty good pace. You get kind of around the lake and you get to a point where you, as a dragon, suddenly feel this almost intense, like, welling up of ancient rage and power kind of welling up from inside you, rolling over you, and you feel yourself kind of cross this barrier. You feel like you've just stepped through some sort of a essence of draconic power. And Siv holds up a hand and he says,
"That is the entrance to the haven. Welcome, my friends. We are now safe."
Just let out a big exhale. Feels good. And getting through there and experiencing that.
Yeah, that actually went really well. I was expecting that to go much more poorly.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Just like hear that Skyrim load music, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how exciting it is for a podcast, but, you know, it went really well. So
yeah, take it.
Yeah. All right. Unless you want to do anything, I'm going to skip ahead.
I turn a dragon, fly back, and shoot flame on the cannon.
Shoot up into the air and, you know, shooting flame as you go and yeah, right. Taunt them a little bit.
Some of the magical drums.
Yeah.
Fireworks.
All right. Yeah. So I'm going to just skip ahead. Okay. So you spend about a week traveling. And like I said, it's very green here. You know, you're used to deserts, to rock, even your time in Silver Ridge and Ecton Falls and these places where, you know, there's more farming and things like that. It's still not, you know, it's eking out plants out of a desert. You know, it's not this. You're in a place of lush growth. I mean, grass, bushes, you know, just, it's very much a different feel to the environment around you, different climate. And, you know, just kind of has lightened everybody's mood quite a bit as guards have been lowered a little bit. People are happy. You know, the kids are kind of running around and laughing and playing as you're traveling throughout the days. And things have been much easier during this week of travel. As you are traveling, you eventually begin to enter into more cultivated, there's the word, in a more cultivated areas. And you can see that, you know, there's farms and things that have been set up, and you begin to actually walk on a real road, and eventually you come to an actual town. And Siv points at the town and says,
"Welcome to Dragon's Rest. This is one of our most important farming communities, and here I believe a proper welcome has been established."
And you walk, you know, follow him into the town, and people are kind of stopping and staring, and you get a lot of people mostly focused on Siv. People cheering and clapping and bows, and people are very, you know, excited to see him. But there's also a lot of just kind of welcoming of the various people in your, you know, in your little company here. And Odd looks at you.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody here is Dragon King, correct?
Almost everybody.
Okay.
You do see groups of other people. At one point, you walk by what looks like a, almost like a work crew working in this kind of field doing some farming. And you can see that they're Dragonkin, they're working on this farming, but there's a smattering of like human guards around them. Doesn't look like they're really guarding for much, but they're just there. One Dragonkin also, you know, walking around the field with weapons. So, you know, you do see some humans, some dwarves, some elves, but they're very few and far between. It's mostly Dragonkin.
Okay, got it. What I assume that maybe it's people who have been connected to the Scaled Path in some way and might have like kind of ended up here. Is that kind of an easy assumption for that?
Yeah, potentially. You also do see that pretty much everyone who's not a Dragonkin that you see has weapons. So, you know, guards of some sort. You can draw your own conclusions from that, but you don't see a lot of just random people, you know, mixed in with the Dragonkin. Mm. They're mostly kind of separated apart.
Got it. Would I potentially think those are dragons?
Potentially.
Okay. Hmm. So I'm not seeing any Dragonkin with weapons?
You do see some Dragonkin with weapons,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, some Dragonkin kind of appear to also be guards of some sort. And you do also just see people randomly with weapons, like, you know, kind of like you would normally expect to see. Not as many as you would normally expect to see in, like, the New Frontier, where everyone carries a weapon.
Sure.
But, you know, you see people with swords and spears and pistols and things, you know, but not anywhere close to as many as you are used to.
Okay, got it. Sorry, a lot of questions regarding that. I'm trying to get the lay of the land here.
Yeah, so as you are kind of led into this town, you know, mostly wooden buildings, but you do see some like more brick type buildings, but you're led into this open square where there are a bunch of tents set up. And this is a scene like you're not real familiar with this kind of a scene. It's got this very like almost party atmosphere to it. There are tents open and you can see like banquet tables with, you know, food set up at them. People are sitting at these tables, eating, drinking. In one kind of corner that draws your eye immediately, you can see a very large tent that, you know, these flaps of this tent have been opened and there's no guards or anything. And it's just filled with treasure. I mean, there's like chests overflowing with gold, all sorts of gems and cups and weapons and all sorts of things in this tent. And Ziv, you know, leads your group and up to this one kind of large pavilion, and you can see three figures sitting on thrones. And these thrones kind of immediately catch your eye. One of these thrones appears to have been just straight carved out of what looks to be some kind of a green, like emerald jewel. Another one appears to be made out of some kind of a silvery material that's been polished so intensely that it is essentially white. Mm-hmm. And just kind of reflects this, you know, the sun. And then the other one appears to be made out of some kind of a clear, maybe glass material, and inside it's just lit with flames. And you can see three figures sitting on these thrones, and Siv leads you up. And he introduces the Dragonkin, kind of leaves you back for a moment. They each go up and are welcomed, and, you know, they bow and, you know, are kind of fairly quickly shunted off. And then he comes back and leads you forward. And he says,
"And now may I introduce Verboden."
He would say it like that too.
And you, I mean, they're not even trying to hide this. You can see these three figures in shock for a moment, and then just anger. And, you know, this this figure, Eldarin, who's sitting on the throne made of glass with the fire, and it stands up, and kind of his form starts to shift a little bit, like he's about to turn into a dragon, and then kind of gets a hold of himself and sits down. And the woman sitting on the green throne, Githam, she says,
"Verboden, Siv, what have you brought us?"
He says,
"Please keep an open mind. I believe this could be very good for us."
He kind of gives them a nod and steps aside. And they all focus on you. They're just kind of quiet for a moment.
So I just kind of take a couple steps forward, just looking up at him. And it's good to see y'all again.
Githam speaks again, and she says,
"Can't say the same to you.
I thought I was in the Haven here. I mean, is this not a refuge? A place for peace and equity for all?"
"Peace and equity for all. A situation that is only necessitated by your actions."
"My actions? What do you mean by that?"
"Do you think we have forgotten you, Bowden? Forsaken one?"
"Is that supposed to mean something to me?"
She sits back for a moment and looks at you. And then Eladia, the one on the white throne, sits forward. And she says,
"Please, we've no time for your jesting. If you are here, then you know who you are. Let's have it all out in the open, shall we?"
"How about I go first?"
"Please do."
Kind of step forward and look at them. "I've been made aware of this prophecy and who all of you are within it. And after my travels here with Siv and his dragonkin, I can only assume and know and feel that I am the Mighty One."
There is just a visible moment of shock, and you know, you get kind of these differing reactions from them. Eldarin just looks angry. Eladia kind of looks a bit amused and then just kind of sits back. Githam looks shocked and frustrated for a moment, but then covers it over and looks at Siv and then nods at you and says,
"So you have been made aware of the prophecy, and you claim this title for yourself, the Mighty One?"
"I do. I was traveling with a group of dragonkin that I set free myself, and through conversations with one of their keepers of the histories and prophecy, he had a strong belief that I was the Mighty One, along with these other signs, and I believe it to be true."
"So you wish to come here to our haven that we created. You wish to be our Mighty One. You are familiar with the prophecy that the Mighty One will rise. You will use the beacon of light to restore Rin's blessing, unite us, the three heirs, and cast down the usurper?"
"Absolutely, and I am aware of one who has stolen what is rightfully mine and has proclaimed himself wrongfully. I am here to rectify that."
"He is also a part of the prophecy, the Traveler.
brought us the chalice, the beacon of our people. And now you wish to claim yourself as the Mighty One.
She looks at Sieve and she says,
Sieve, your opinion is respected in these matters. You have traveled with Verboden. Do you agree that he meets the qualifications?
He kind of gives you a little bit of a nod and a half smile. And he says,
I do believe so. Wise and courageous and brave you all are, and you have led our people into freedom, into safety. Now it is time for things to move forward. We have seen the prophecy begin to be completed. I believe it is now the time for the Mighty One to rise. And although we may have had our own ideas on who this Mighty One was to be, the people, I believe, will rally around Verboden, will follow his lead, and assuming that he is fair and honest and has been true in what he has said to me, I believe he will stand up to Yindra and bring freedom to us all once again.
It's just a bit of disbelief and, you know, this is difficult for these dragons to hear and accept. And they kind of sit there for a moment. And Eladia sits forward and then sits back. Eldarin stands and takes a couple of steps towards you. And he says,
Verboden, you and I have a bit of history. It's been some time since we have fought.
I'm not sure if you would remember, but at one point, more in childhood, you probably, like, got into, like, a wrestling match, essentially, mm-hmm. with him. He's quite a bit younger than you, okay. So, you know, you probably easily beat him and didn't make much of a mark on you, but clearly he remembers it.
Yeah, right.
And he says,
you have to admit that this is quite surprising and a deviation from what we understand of you and your character.
Well, how long has it been?
Centuries.
Well, I can change in that time frame. I'm sure you've changed a bit from how I remember you.
Perhaps. But I find it hard to believe that the one who betrayed our people to Yindra now wishes to stand up and fight her.
I've had a lot of time to reflect on the choices I've made, and I'm no fan of Yindra.
Eladia sits forward again and kind of has a quizzical look on her face, and she says,
so are you saying you regret what you did?
What do you think? My entire existence has been cursed. And for what? For her to completely remove all dragons, turn to hate against them, enslave the dragonkin, leaving people out in the frontier just to fend for themselves and support the people sitting back there in their homes behind their walls? She is no good god.
So now you return to us to seek to place us back in charge?
I seek to put the rightful back in charge. Those who will protect the oppressed and create this place of equity, as I've heard about so much from Sieve and the Dragonkin and all this prophecy represents. So if that's what you're telling me that it is, then yes. Am I correct in my assumptions?
Githam kind of holds up a hand and says,
yes, you are correct that that is what we seek. Of course,
no society would succeed without strong leadership. So we have taken that mantle upon ourselves as the oldest and the wisest of the dragons, and those who the people themselves feel have fulfilled our place in the prophecy as the heirs of Rin.
And how did you all know your place in this prophecy?
Well, they say the spirit of Rin himself gave the prophecy to the original prophet of the Dragonkin, and we have witnessed its power and its ability to unite. We have watched it from the outskirts of the world until we were able to return and begin the process of seeing this place be set up.
What an exciting time then for all of us to be here together to see it fulfilled.
Yes. Despite everything, it is good to see you, Verboden. I must ask, are you here to seek your curse removed?
I'm seeking for that daily.
And if we choose not to remove it?
Well, my hope is that through the culmination of our efforts and the fulfillment of this prophecy, that can be removed.
I believe we need to take counsel amongst ourselves. You bring quite the proposal to us, unless there's something else.
No, I'd like to go check in with the group I was traveling with, and we're all quite famished, so I'd like to partake of this banquet you have here.
Yes, Steve will stay with you, show you around, and we will call for you when we are ready.
All right, well, you know where to find me.
Yes, now we do.
Steve kind of puts a hand on your shoulder and starts to lead you over toward the tent. And as he's walking, he, kind of with a low voice says,
"Was all of that true? Do you truly believe yourself to be the Mighty One now?"
Steve, after all I've seen and seen your conviction, how could I not?
He just kind of chuckles a little bit and says,
"Yes, that you may need to work a little harder to be convincing."
Take that under advisement.
Just before he kind of enters into the tent, he turns and he looks at you with kind of a serious look on his face, and he says,
"You have my support. Whether you are being real or false, with this one caveat, that if you fail, or if you betray these people, I will burn you to the ground."
I know you're being awesome when you say that. While I'm sure you know a bit about me, based on the reaction of those up there, it might be hard to trust me, but I hope you do know the core of me, with our time traveling and what I stand for, and I'll do my best.
He nods.
"Remember what I said. Hope is powerful, and as you said, it can also be used to manipulate and lead people down dark paths."
Yep.
He turns and enters into the tent, and you can see the dragonkin that you've been with are sitting at his, at this banquet table and eating, and there are people coming in and bringing more trays of food and bringing drinks, and it's kind of an air of celebration, and they just clearly seem like they're enjoying themselves. And there's a kind of a, "Hey, Verboden," as you come in, and they invite you to come and sit down and partake in the food and the rest that they have fought for.
Yeah, I'll grab a plate of food and sit down and just kind of kick back and take a moment to relax a little bit just in this moment, just the care he has for them and looking around the room and seeing their faces and the joy that they have and take me in that moment, because I know that's potentially not going to last for Bowden with the challenge up ahead of him, so he's just trying to kind of savor this moment a bit.
Yep. Any specific conversation with anybody you're wanting to have, or just kind of enjoy the moment?
I want to find Krim. Actually, I wanted to kind of catch up with her after what had happened, not getting to kind of decompress with what happened with Nat. So I'll kind of pull a chair over, kind of up next to her, and lean in. Well, Grimbatriana, you made it here. How are you doing?
It's all a bit overwhelming. I'm not sure that I've fully processed that we're actually here, and it's... I know that Nat betrayed us, but I still wish she could see this.
Do you know why she might have done that? I mean, that was a bit unexpected for her to attack him in that way, and was also unexpected.
I do not know. I was shocked to hear of it. Her and I have been friends for some time, but I would never have expected her to have... I don't know. Perhaps she was merely using me to get her way into our group and escape with us, or maybe she wasn't really Nat. I don't know.
Well, you can't place that blame on yourself. I mean, I've been fooled before by those close to me, so you can miss her and grieve, but I wouldn't let that hang over you. You're in a new place now, and hopefully brighter things are in store for us.
Yes, I will definitely have to still wrestle with who she was and who I believe her to have been, but...
She kind of looks around and she says,
"We are here, and it is cause for celebration."
"Here, here."
She picks up a glass and kind of, you know, raises it to you and says,
"Would you share a toast with me?"
"Absolutely."
She says,
"I don't know specifically about you and your road to get here, aside from what I've seen and know about you, but it has been a long and hard journey for us."
And people are kind of quieting down as she's speaking to you and listening, and you know, people are kind of starting to make sure they have their own glasses, and she says,
"But if this place is truly what it has been, what has been told to us, and what we believe it to be, and if we all can work together to make it what it should be, it was all worth it."
She holds up her glass and looks around the table and says,
"For all those who were not able to escape with us, and for those who have come before to make this place."
They all nod and they all drink.
Mm-hmm. I'll do the same.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. They spend some time in celebration, and at one point, somebody comes in and Steve exits with them, and then, you know, you just kind of stay there, keep celebrating for a while, enjoying the meal, and then he comes back and he looks at you and he nods and says,
"The boat in there ready?"
"All right, ready."
He leads you back to that area, and you see that a fourth chair has been set up, and this one is made of metal. You know, it's been forged out of metal, yep. But it's kind of in the shape of a snarling dragon that, you know, it's kind of shaped in that, with the head, you know, the neck kind of is the back of the chair and the head up, and there are kind of spears and swords and things stabbed into this dragon, but its wings are starting to unfurl, and they are, you know, the other three thrones are occupied, and he leads you up to stand in front of them and get them. Says,
"For Bodin, we have discussed, and while unconventional and perhaps foolish of us, we are willing to accept your role as the Mighty One if if you are truly offering yourself up.
I've come a long way to get to this moment, and I have no greater honor.
All right. Well, join us, if you would. She points to the fourth throne.
Yeah, so I will walk up there, faking some confidence as I go. And then I'll look at it, kind of put a hand down on it for a moment. And then turn around, so I'm facing the same direction, you know, that they would be. And I look over at them and wait.
She says, "The role of the Mighty One is to lead our armies, to lead us in our attempts to overthrow Yindra herself and restore proper order, restore freedom to all of those of the Dragonkin's people who are enslaved still." She nods at the throne and says, "I believe you will not find it comfortable, as it has been purposely made to force whoever is sitting in it to think to the future. We hope that as we present you to the people, you will live up to this role. You will prove yourself worthy of it, as you have proven yourself false in the past."
Just kind of nodded at her and raised a glass that I had that I brought over from the banquet hall.
Okay. Do you sit down?
I wait for them to take a seat.
Yeah, they sit down.
Okay, yeah, then I'll look back and sit down.
All right, she wasn't lying. It's not a comfortable chair.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, you know, spikes and angled scales and things that are kind of purposely forged to make you uncomfortable.
Does it feel like it's a recent forging?
No, okay. Not really. Not like, you know, they just made it, okay, or anything. But
just checking.
It definitely seems like they have accepted you.
Okay, yeah, I just kind of look over and it's nice.
Yes, well, I believe, this is Eladia talking, I believe it is time for us to wrap things up here, return back to the capital, and announce you to all the people.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
And there, of course, you can encounter Hestion himself and perhaps get your hands on your chalice, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been holding it for me, and he'll gladly hand it over to the Mighty One.
That will be an interesting conversation. He prizes it. Always has. Leaves himself its keeper.
I'm sure for somebody who was proclaiming to be the Traveler and hold it for the Mighty One, I feel like he'd gladly give it over.
We can hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully he wasn't wrong about calling himself the Traveler.
Well, if you truly are the Mighty One, then how could he be?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for listening to Tales of the Forsaken. I honestly wasn't really expecting you to accept the role of the Mighty One.
Yeah, that was kind of a last-minute shift. I'm like, how do I navigate this? So I felt like a little bluffing would buy some time.
Well, there you go. I am excited to see what the consequences of that are as the story continues forward.
That makes one of us.
Well, we hope that you are enjoying listening to it, and we hope that you will be excited about it and want to join our Discord and hopefully share it with your friends.